morning session of the Court of Appeals. I'm pleased to be joined this morning on my right by Judge John Irwin from Sarpy County, and on my left by Judge Francie Reedman from Gretna, and I am Frankie Moore from North Platte. We have four cases on our schedule this morning. I will announce your case, and then as you approach and before you begin your argument, I'll announce it again for purposes of our recording. I will remind you we are also being live streamed over NET, and with regard to any cases that may be sensitive in nature or involving children, you may not want to use full names for that reason. With that, we'll start our morning. The first case is In Re Interest of Adelyn B. Good morning.
Good morning.
You may proceed.
May it please the court. I'm Laura Lowe, appearing on behalf of appellant in this case. We are asking that the court reverse the decision of the juvenile court terminating appellant's parental rights to the minor child in this case, Adelyn. The main crux of our argument, Your Honors, are that there was an alternative resolution in this case that was, frankly, summarily dismissed by the juvenile court. That was guardianship. Guardianship is permitted as an alternative disposition in a juvenile court case. The juvenile court can maintain jurisdiction. There can be a finding that the parent is unfit. It would require the parent to come back to court in the guardianship proceedings and petition the court to terminate the guardianship and then show that he was not unfit and could have some contact with the child. In this particular instance, it is our position that it was in the child's best interest to have alternative disposition in the form of guardianship.
Can you remind us what the evidence was at trial with regard to guardianship?
Your Honor, the caseworker, Ms. Rutledge, testified that guardianship is an alternative to termination of parental rights and adoption. She indicated in her testimony that although that was a possible disposition, it was not the department's position that it was in Adelyn's best interest to proceed with the guardianship, and instead they were pursuing termination and an adoption by the Adelyn's half-sister, Ms. McDonald.
Was the reason they didn't think it was the appropriate measure because of the incarceration till potentially 2017?
Well, Your Honor, it's our position that that was the sole reason for basically having a steamroller to termination in this case. A review of the evidence would show that not even a year before the incident in question with the delivery, the intent to deliver methamphetamine, the juvenile court entered an order changing the permanency plan to adoption, primary plan of adoption with a concurrent plan of reunification. That's not even a year after the incident occurred. And then in January of 2014, the caseworker testified that she stopped all communication with our client, Kevin. She had no further communication with him at all. Then in March, all contact between Kevin and his daughter was suspended by the court. The court's order entered in March of 2014 suspends all visitation. So it's our position that the incarceration of our client was the sole reason for proceeding to termination so quickly in this case. And that's particularly so given that the child was placed in a relative placement, which is a preference under the juvenile court and under the policies of the Department of Health and Human Services. That is to preserve the family. This is an ideal situation for guardianship. There can still be findings of unfitness on the parent's part, and the family unit can still be maintained. It is our position that that was the most appropriate resolution in this case instead of proceeding to termination of parental rights for our client.
Did the state have any bases other than the incarceration for rejecting
guardianship? They did, Your Honor. They did, Your Honor. There's a statutory 15 out of 22 months, but I would submit that the case law well establishes that that's merely a guideline.
And still requires some showing of unfitness.
It requires a showing of unfitness and best interest of the minor child, Your Honor. And in this case, it's clear that there were minimal efforts made to assist Kevin even while he was incarcerated, when he was out on house arrest.
Well, wasn't part of the difficulty is that the case originated in Nebraska and then he went to California and that's where he's incarcerated. The child was here for a little bit and then was in California, and trying to coordinate services between the two states was difficult. At least during the time that Kevin was not incarcerated. And then, of course, once he was incarcerated, pretty difficult to arrange visitation. So what more could the department have done here?
Well, Your Honor, the testimony at the formal hearing in this matter was that Ms. Rutledge would find providers. She testified that she did not ever make final arrangements for payment for the various evaluations that were needed in this case, and Kevin would then move. She also testified that he remained in contact with her regularly, so she was aware of his comings and goings and where he was. So those evaluations never got set up. Her last conversation with Kevin while he was incarcerated, and that's in San Pedro, California, was that go ahead and arrange for your own services. You can do that while you're in federal prison system. And he did that. He took parenting classes. He took a drug class. He signed up to start, and this was in this past February, to start a very intensive drug and alcohol substance abuse program that upon completion would have reduced his sentence by up to a year. He did that on his own. It wasn't the department arranging for those things. It's our position that the department really did very little, except they did approve of the relative placement, which placed Adeline in California with her half-sister, which then would help with the visitation situation. However, the record shows that there were difficulties with that. Kevin had a visit when Ms. Rutledge took Adeline out to California initially. He then had a visit with the courtesy worker out in California, but then a visit was canceled by Ms. McDonald because she had plans to be someplace else. A visit was canceled because the respite provider, an aunt and uncle, refused to transport the child. On another occasion, our client was trying to find the visitation location, was in communication with Ms. Rutledge, and she said, no, it's 30 minutes and I am canceling the visit. And he was 45 minutes late, trying to find where they were. Then the next visit was canceled due to him being transported back to Nebraska. So there was a very small window of time in which visitations could have been arranged in California. Child was placed out there in March of 2013. Our client returned to Nebraska in June of 2013. So essentially there were only a couple of months to arrange for the visits in California. And then the child moved with her placement to Nevada. So that makes it very difficult as well. Although the record, excuse me.
Well, you can finish your thought. I have a question for you back on the guardianship issue.
Okay. The record does indicate that our client did write letters to the child, did have telephone conversations with the child until he was no longer provided Ms. McDonald's phone number in order to have those communications with the child. So he did make efforts to maintain his relationship and connection to the child.
Thank you. I do appreciate that your client has made efforts. We see more in this case than perhaps we see in some others. But back to the guardianship, can you point me to any cases in which the juvenile court has terminated parental rights and an appellate court in Nebraska has said that's wrong, reversed, and ordered the court to pursue a guardianship in lieu of termination?
I don't I can't think of a case where that has occurred. There are cases where that has been addressed, where alternative resolution through guardianship has been addressed. One of those was, I believe, possibly in re interest of Eden at 14 Nub App 867. I'll have to look in my file, Your Honor. There, I did pull some cases specifically that did address guardianship. One was where a guardian was contesting how the guardianship was set up and the letters issued, and the court found that the guardianship was properly instituted in those proceedings. I just can't think of the site off my head. I'll get back to you on that.
All right. Thank you.
So, Your Honor, it is our position that the court was wrong, that there was not clear and convincing evidence that our client's parental rights should have been terminated, and it was also error to not order a guardianship in this case. It's clear that the situation was ripe for a guardianship. It would fulfill the preferences of the juvenile code in family placements. Family placements give parents additional time in some cases because it's a recognized exception under the code. Gives them additional time in some cases to rehabilitate themselves. This is clearly a case where our client is making efforts to rehabilitate himself, and he would be in a position to at least challenge the guardianship upon his release from incarceration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Lori Passold. I represent the state of Nebraska in this case. I work for the Lancaster County Attorney's Office. Simply put, Adeline deserves permanency in this case, and that cannot be reached by way of a guardianship, the court has asked of Ms. Lowe.
And why is that? What was the evidence that was presented below as to why a guardianship would not work in this case?
Well, frankly, because it's not a reasonable alternative, and it's not in her best interest. Adeline, at the time that her parents were stopped running drugs across the state of Nebraska, was 15 months old. She was in a car with her parents, who were transporting over 5.5 pounds of methamphetamine from the state of California, and she was taken into the custody of the state of Nebraska because neither parent was in a position to parent her, both having been arrested. Both ended up, as the court knows, incarcerated in federal prison. And Mr. Barreau, under the current sentence that he faces, will not be eligible for release until 2017. At that time, he'll then gain release. He'll have 3 years of supervision by the federal courts in which he can maybe try to put himself in a position to parent Adeline. But we don't even have a guarantee at the time that he's released that he will be in a position to safely parent Adeline or be a fit parent for Adeline.
Well, what's the harm of having a guardianship in place during that time?
Because it leaves Adeline in a place of limbo. She would potentially be 7 years old by the time that he is released. And under the best of circumstances, putting himself in a position to parent her again. As Ms. Rutledge testified, children need, especially at this age that Adeline is in, and they need clear set of expectations as to who their caregiver is going to be. They need a predictable living environment. They need predictable caregiving.
Couldn't that be accomplished with a guardianship?
Well, presumably the guardianship would be with her stepsister with whom she's placed. But that guardianship then can be broken up if Mr. Barreau puts himself in a position to parent, again, which is a tenuous idea. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. And then all of that parenting and permanency that Adeline has had for 6 years with her stepsister, 5 or 6 years, is essentially ripped away from her.
The services or his response to the services offered, though, why would we take such a negative or pessimistic view of his ability to parent after he gets out? I mean, it seems that he has cooperated. He He's done some things on his own. He's taken the parenting class. He's taken the drug classes. So
I have a very different view of that, Your Honor. I would first point to the fact that after his arrest, he was released on pretrial supervision within days, I think, shortly, or at least a week after his arrest. He was out of custody for 6 months before being arrested on a violation of that supervised release. So it wasn't a situation in which he was convicted and then sentenced at that point. It was actually a violation of that pretrial supervision. So he had 6 months in which he could work with the Department of Health and Human Services, get a substance abuse evaluation, get a pretreatment assessment. And as Ms. Rutledge testified, it was incredibly difficult to try to set those things up. She had a hard time communicating with him, and when she did, he would move. He would say, at one point, I'm here. She would get services set up, and then he'd move to another location. He had 6 months, and during those 6 months, we see a lot of parents in juvenile court who take advantage of that time to put themselves in a position where they can get their kids back home, and he didn't do that. And I think that behavior is a good prediction of potentially what can happen once he gets out. Of course, he has taken advantage of some services that were offered to him while he was incarcerated, but I would argue to the court that those don't negate his complete failure to take advantage of the services that the department was trying to provide to him before he was reincarcerated. He only saw his daughter, I think, once or twice during that six-month time period. That, Your Honor, does not show a parent who has taken initiative to try to get himself back in a position to be a parent to this child, and again would argue that she should not have to be in limbo, even by way of a guardianship, which could later be disrupted, to wait while he essentially gets his act together.
During those 6 months, was he in Nebraska or was he in California?
He was in California.
And the child was where?
The child was in foster care for a brief period of time in Nebraska because that's where she was. There was no local family. And then she was shortly after that, I would say within a month or two, if I remember correctly, and then placed with her stepsister back in California. The stepsister eventually moved to Nevada, as Ms. Lowe points out, but that stepsister was in California. So efforts were made to not only put her with a family placement, which is always preferred, of course, but by doing so, put that child close to her father, who then could try to take some steps to properly parent that child. A parent, I would remind the court again, that made the choice to put his toddler child in a car as he was running drugs across the country, which by his own admission, when he testified during the trial in this case, was really a dangerous situation. I think his words were anything could have happened.
Which is the basis for the adjudication.
Yes.
But not necessarily the basis for the termination, because after the adjudication, services are supposed to be rendered to reunify
but
the family.
But I do think it is a basis at which the court can look to determine whether he's a fit parent. And that, in and of itself, certainly shows the court his decision-making process. On top of that, we have testimony from Ms. Rutledge during the time that she was able to work with him, certainly while he was not incarcerated, and even during the period of time, at least for a portion of time that he was incarcerated, he never expressed to her an understanding of what the big deal was about his actions that got his child removed from his care in the first place. It really seemed, even by his own testimony at the termination trial, that he has had a understanding of that much more recently. And all of those barriers really point to his unfitness. And as the courts have said, we can look at that past behavior to try to predict what his future behavior is. Because we, again, don't want Adeline to sit there in limbo while we look to see whether her father can put himself in a position to parent. We just don't know when that would be. For those reasons, we would ask that the court uphold the juvenile court's termination of Kevin's parental rights, both because he failed to correct the conditions leading to the adjudication, and because he, by the time that the termination order occurred, she had been in the out-of-home placement, I think, 22, 23 months prior to that. All of those things, all of the evidence presented to the court, the trial court, shows that it was in her best interest that Kevin is an unfit parent, and that she does not deserve to have an uncertain future. Thank you.
Thank you. Leave the appellants out of time. Okay. Thank you, counsel. We appreciate your being here today. Your case is submitted and you are excused. Next case is In Re Estate of Maz.